Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Romans, chapter 7, we'll read verses 14 through 24, and we'll read this passage responsively. Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. And let's finish on verse 24 together. Ready? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for the presence of the living God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, use the words of God and use what he has studied, spent time with you for. Give it to us so that we could go out and help a lost and dying world, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'll read again just a small portion of the text that we read together earlier. The Bible says in Romans 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Don't let those words become confusing to you. Throughout then that passage of scripture, all the way through verse number 23 and 24, we find out that the apostle Paul said there is a struggle that was going on within him. Inside him was a tug one way and then a tug another way. Paul is describing to us here in Romans chapter 7 what I would call a spiritual tug of war. In verse number 14, it tells us that Paul said that the Bible, my book, is spiritual. And Paul said, but I am carnal. And he said, the spirit pulls me one way and then my flesh seems to pull me another way. In verse number 16, Paul said, what I'm supposed to do pulls me one way. And so I'm pulled one way with what I'm supposed to do. And then it seems like my flesh pulls me another way. And that which I'm that the things that I'm not supposed to do pull me another way. In verse 18, he says, my will to obey God pulls me one way. But then my rebellion, my disobedience to God pulls me another way. He said, I'm pulled back and forth. In verse 19, he said, my desire to do good and good pulls me one way. And then evil pulls me the other way. And then good pulls on me. And then evil pulls on me. In verse 22 and 23, he says, the law of God pulls me one way. And then the law of sin pulls me another way. He said it's a tug of war. And if you've ever read that passage of scripture there in Romans chapter 7, if you want, you could allow it to confuse you. There's no sense in it. Paul's just saying, I'm trying to win this tug of war. And anybody that's saved, whether you've been saved a week or you've been saved 100 years, you understand the tug of war. There's a part of you that wants to do good, and the part of you that wants to do bad pulls against you. Some call it the old nature and the new nature. And Paul is merely saying, I'm pulling toward the right things, and all of a sudden something starts pulling me toward the wrong things. He said, I've got this battle going on inside of me. I've got a spiritual tug of war. Now, the phrase tug of war originally meant a contest for supremacy. That's all it was. When someone used the term a tug of war, it was a contest to see who would be the supreme winner. An actual war between right and wrong. A tug for victory. Now, not until the 19th century was the tug of war a reference really to an actual athletic contest. Of course, a tug of war, we know, is where a rope is used. Brother Bush, why don't you help me for just a second here? I have a rope here. Brother Bush, if you'll help kind of string that out and let's find one good end of it. And maybe this one's going to be easier. Is that okay? Great. We have a rope here. I'll tell you what, Brother Bush, you got plenty? I'm going to need quite a bit of that, so I just want to make sure I don't have a tangle in it. We have a rope here to illustrate the tug of war. I think that'll be good. And Brother Marsh, you do me a favor. You take all this excess and just put it down the stairs there a little bit so nobody trips on it. Kind of just, not too far down, just off the platform. Just take it all. You won't even have to untangle it. We'll be good with what we have here. The Apostle Paul was telling us, thank you, Brother Marsh. The Apostle Paul was saying to us, there's a tug of war. He said, I feel it on the inside of me. Now, when there's a tug of war, when it, most of you know what a tug of war is. You get somebody on one end of a rope and somebody on the other end of a rope, and then somebody signals to start or go, and then they tug against it. I'm going to use the pulpit mic. PA men, you'll have to pay attention down here. What they do with a tug of war, usually somewhere toward the middle, they tie a ribbon of some sort. That makes the middle, and if you've seen it done, they pull. There's a certain line that once they've pulled that ribbon across it, somebody has won the tug of war. Now, this tug of war, we're in it, you're in it, I'm in it. The winner is the team that pulls a loser over the finish line, if you will. I don't know if you realize it, in the 12th century, they have found that there was tug of wars in New Guinea and in Egypt. The Vikings used to use animal skins as a rope. They would do it over a pit of fire. And whoever was pulled into the fire was the loser. And that was to test the strength. I guess that's losing. It was a test of strength. In Ireland, they had a tug of war. And they used to use the tug of war as part of the training program for their constables or their police. Sailors used to compete a lot in this thing, the tug of war. It was a natural for them because they were required to tug on lines and adjust sails while ships were at sea and in battle. Now, it used to be that the tug of war was an actual Olympic competition. They're not doing it anymore, but for a while there were actual tug of war competitions in the Olympics. Now, there is a move right now. They're trying to get the tug of war reinstated as a competition in the Olympics. And in the Olympics, whichever team, and they had just like they do now, they had different states different countries from around the world that would compete. And whoever won it, they called them they crowned them the king of the rope. They were the kings of the rope. Now, but I see very clearly here, according to Scripture, that the phrase tug of war describes what Paul was saying to us in Romans chapter 7. You and I, we also as Christians, we face conflict in life. We face struggles in life. We face battles in life. We have a clash between two opposing sides. You and I face opposition. You and I feel pulled in different directions. This is my rope today. I'm going to illustrate throughout the sermon. Brother Nickerson, why don't you come up here, and I'm going to let you do something you're not used to. You're going to be a Christian here for a little while. Brother Nickerson, I want you to do this for me. I want you to come over here and grab a hold of that rope, if you will. And you just hold on to that. And in a minute, I'm going to get a little competition for you. Here's the Christian. The Christian's going to tug on this rope, tug toward good, tug toward God, tug toward the spiritual things of life. So here's our Christian. William Whitehouse, where are you at? William, come up here, if you will. William, I'm going to give you a part that you'll be able to play just fine. You're going to be the devil. You're going to be what's not good, bad. Your parents have asked me to do this today. But William, come over here for a second. Brother Nickerson, face the crowd. William, face the crowd. Let me explain to you. This is the Christian, and this is bad, and this is the devil. I want you all to know something. You think you're more powerful than him, but you're not. Okay, William, go down there and get a hold of your end of the rope. And you don't have to get a hold of the end. I want to make it taut here a little bit. Can you get leverage? Just joking. Here, hold this. All right. Now, you guys pull on that a little bit. Pull against each other a little bit. Pull him, William. Okay. All right. That's. Thank you. It wasn't planned, but that's how Christians fall. Now, stay with me here. The Bible teaches this, that there are a lot of different tugs. There are a lot of different competitions. There's a tug in our life. For instance, the Bible tells us there's a tug of war between good and evil. The Bible says in Amos chapter 5, verse 15, hate the evil and love the good. Now, folks, here it's actually talking about doing good. It's talking about doing good to people. You and I, we're to do good deeds. And I know that almost seems like a liberal term among fundamentalists, but we're still supposed to live our life doing good deeds. And it's doing good unto others, doing good unto people. Now, what's evil? We're talking about evil deeds. That's where we do evil unto people. We're out to hurt people. We're out to destroy someone, whether it's out to attack them or destroy their reputation or whatever it is. Now, we have to be careful because there's a tug inside all of us. Do you ever get upset enough with somebody that you want to go hurt them? You want to do something to them, whether it be with your words or whether you want to do it with physical, hurting them somehow physically? Well, I promise you, the Christian, the good part, tugs this way. But then the bad part tugs this way. And we go back and forth in this. And Mr. Christian, you tug a little bit on that. You want to do a good deed. But wait a minute, the devil doesn't want you to. He wants to pull you this way. That's exactly how it happens. Now, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, that which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. He was in a tug of war. And the truth is, he was saying to you, I'm giving my best. I'm pulling on the rope. He said, but sometimes I lose. I think that's what Paul was saying. Paul said, sometimes I get beat. And just like Brother Nickerson a moment ago stumbled, that happens to the Christian. Now, sometimes he wins. Paul said, there are sometimes I win this thing, sometimes I lose this thing. Let me tell you something, folks. Why don't you spend your time doing good and tug for good, talk good about people, praise people, compliment people. Don't spend your time talking bad about people and criticizing people. Be good to people. Give to people. That's good. Stealing from people, that's evil. But there's a tug of war. And the Bible teaches there's a tug of war between good and evil. But not only that, the Bible also tells us there's a tug of war between two masters. And these masters are unique. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, this is actually talking about two masters. And one of the masters is being money. The other is God. You know, there are people who actually let money control their life instead of letting God control your life. Now, I'm not against people having money. Money in itself is not wrong or sin. Some people say money's the root of all evil. No, that is not true. It is the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's any time that money becomes more important to us than right, or money becomes more important to us than God. But there's a tug that goes on. The Christian is tugging for good and right, and he's tugging this way. But wait a minute, the devil's tugging this way. And there is a war that can go on between you and I over these two masters. And Paul said, you know what I do? I give my best. And I give my best when I get into this tug of war. He said, that which I would not, that I do, and that which I would, I do not. He said, I am trying to win the tug of war. He said, sometimes I win and I don't let money become my master. Money doesn't make all my decisions for me. He said, but sometimes I lose and I get so attached to that stuff called money and gold and riches and nice things. And somehow it wins over me. You know, I think there are some times when people find themselves being forced to work while church is going on. And I understand that. I understand that. But I think there are some times when we don't have to work during church time, but we choose to. Now, you have to be careful here, because that tug of war goes on. That tug of war goes on. Hey, there's a tug of war that will go on in your life if you've been saved and you're learning to tithe. That is giving God one tenth of your income. There might come a tug of war. When Sunday morning rolls around, it's time to pull that checkbook out, and you're thinking, oh boy, I don't know if I can afford to tithe. Let me recommend this to you. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Let's have a little tug of war here over the tithe. Brother Nickerson believes in tithing. The devil here, believes in keeping that money in your pocket for a rainy day. Pull it out here a little bit, guys. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, sometimes your good side will win. Every once in a while, your bad side will win. We all go through it. Tonight, some of you that are not, you've not had a chance to participate in our Faith Promise program. We'll ask you if you'd like to give by faith to give to our missions program. And that's a good opportunity. You say, well, if I did that, I'm new in the church. If I did that, I might have to cut down the number of times I go to McDonald's. You're right. And you will have a Faith Promise McDonald's tug of war. Here's Faith Promise and here's Ronald McDonald right here. There's the tug of war. It's going to go on. So the Bible says there is a tug of war that goes on between two masters. The Bible says there's a tug of war that goes on in regard to good and evil, our deeds with people. Then the Bible tells us there's a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Brother Nickerson's always pulling this way just a little. You're not going to pull him down again, evidently. There's a tug of war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that you would. You know what that says? There's a tug of war. It said the flesh is tugging against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Tug there, flesh and spirit. Fight it out a little bit. That happens within you. It happens within you. Now, let me explain something. There are a lot of reasons for the Holy Spirit of God, but I want to tell you one of the primary reasons. If you check in the book of Acts and you see that the Holy Spirit of God came, it came to help a bunch of people get saved. And the Spirit of God was given to us to aid us in our confidence and ability to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, if I could, let me apply it this way. There's going to be a tug within a Christian about their soul winning. There are going to be times when you know you ought to be telling others about Christ, and you're going to begin to tug a little bit, but your flesh is going to tug the other way. There may be a Thursday night when you could have come out to the soul winning meeting, but you stayed home and watched TV because you tugged the wrong way or that tug from the world. And Paul said this. Paul said, I've been giving my best. I've been in this battle. And some of you feel like, boy, it's been such a battle. I've got rope burns. I'm wore out. My back is sore. I've been tugging. And sometimes Paul said, I win. Sometimes I lose. Hey, everybody here, young people, look up here. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Listen, about scared some girl to death there. I have a mess to clean up. I've been through this. I don't know about you, but I cannot tell you how many times the Spirit prompted me witness to that person. And I go through this panic. I'm going, what? What? Here? Yeah. Witness to him. Here? I don't know him. Whoa. And I feel the tug. Give me a little tug about soul winning. Y'all ever felt that tug? Oh, wow. Paul said, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. I'm trying the things which I would not, that I do. The things that I wish that I wouldn't do, I do them. And things I shouldn't do. Oh, my, he said, there's a tug of war. Don't ignore the Spirit. Hey, let me tell you something. When the invitation at church is given and people are getting saved, there'll be a tug of war that goes on for you. Some of you say, I want to be the first one down to the restaurant. Somebody else says, I'm staying to watch people get saved. A tug of war. Tug of war. Hey, not only that, there's a tug of war between love and hate. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44, it says, ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Notice it does not say curse them that bless you. Some of you memorize the scripture wrong. Love and hate. There's a tug. Hate pulls you this way. Love pulls you this way. And we go through this. We go through this spiritual tug of war. We're to love. Now, and really this is all about people. Did you know you're not supposed to hate people? You say, I hate that woodpecker that tore up my door. I guess that's all right. I don't know. I don't see any scriptural commands about not hating woodpeckers. But I'll tell you this. Well, I can tell you about a couple big black crows that keep on messing up my car out at my house. I don't know what they see in my car. My black car is white half the time. And I will guarantee you, I hate those crows. I don't think it's a sin for me to hate them crows. But I'll tell you this, I'm not supposed to hate people. We have within us this desire sometimes to hate other humans, hate other Christians. And God said, you're not supposed to do that. You're to love. And so, give me a little tug of war. There's a tug of war between love and hate and love and hate. And it goes on within us. The Apostle Paul put it very well. He said, I feel the tug of war. I see it. It's in my life. And all of us face it. Paul said, I'm giving my best. And if you're like Paul, you would say just like Paul, sometimes I win. Sometimes I lose. I was so close to losing last Wednesday night. Brother Marsh was with me. I had been in California. I had gotten up at 2:30 in the morning to get back to church on time here Wednesday night. And I was in the airports. And I am telling you what a mess. They cancel and move something. I run down, get a ticket on another airline. So I'm moving everything. I'm trying to get back here on time so I could be here on Wednesday night. And I am telling you, finally, my plane landed at Baltimore. And they made this announcement. We are on the ground, but you may not have your luggage. I had just enough time to get back here in time for church. And I'm talking about if Brother Marsh breaks the speed limit, which I never recommend. He was going to drive me back from the Baltimore airport and they come on this intercom and say, we cannot give you your luggage. I went to the airline counter and I said, I have been late all day long. I started this journey a long time ago. I was not late getting to my gates. I was not late getting on my airplanes. I was on time. You all have been late all day long. You just told me I can't have my luggage. Would you send a courier and have it just brought to me? Since you're late, I have to go. I have one of the most important meetings happening anywhere in the United States of America that I've got to be on time to. And the man said, nope, you stay here and get your luggage. That was not a good thing for them to say to me. And I said, excuse me. And I walked out. A lady behind the counter said, well, wait a minute, sir. And I told Brother Marsh, I said, don't let me go back. And I left my suitcases in Baltimore. You say, why? Because right there in the office of the airline, there was a struggle going on. And just so you know, it was not good. And it's been a long time since I cussed anybody. And I am good with words. I can put them together quickly and well. I'm glad we didn't go back. We all go through it. We all go through it. This tug of war that goes on, the tug of war between good and evil, and the tug of war between money and using it properly, and the tug of war that goes on in our lives between love and hate. And folks, I'm not telling you you're not supposed to hate. Indeed, you're to hate, but you're not to hate people. You're to hate sin, hate the devil, hate wrong, hate the pain that sin causes, but you're not supposed to hate people. And we all go through it, and Paul said, I'm trying, I'm pulling, and I'm tugging. And Paul said, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Hey, there's a tug of war that goes on in the Christian life. There's a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That tug of war back and forth. You see it. I see it. Hey, for some of you, one of the biggest tug of wars you have going right now is between good friends and bad friends. Good friends and bad friends. Folks, your friends will make you or break you. Who you spend your time with will make you or break you. And you know, sometimes you all listen to me say something like this and you think it's just for the teenagers. I've got news for you. I see adults do some pretty stupid things in regard to who they choose as their friends. James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. Hey, there's a right friend. Somebody that was a friend of God and God was their friend. But the Bible tells us in James 4:4, that friendship of the world is enmity with God. In other words, there's a tug. Fellas, there's a friendship tug, good and evil. And they're tugging it out. Do I want to be with the good friends, bad friends? Do I want to be the right kind of a friend? Or am I going to be the wrong kind of friend? There's a battle that goes on. Just so you all know, good friends make you better Christians. Good friends make you better Christians. They don't want you to lower the level of your Christianity. They want you to pick it up. Good friends will virtually, spiritually intimidate you. See, there's some jokes you can tell around your friends that you couldn't tell around mine. There are some things with your cell phone that you could not do around my friends that you could do around yours. Good friends want you to win the battle. And Paul said, I've been given my best. He said, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Good friends encourage you to obey. Good friends encourage you to tell the truth. Good friends encourage you to be moral. That's what good friends do. There's a tug of war in friendship. But not only that, the Bible tells us there's a tug of war between satisfaction and covetousness. Satisfaction and covetousness. Listen to this. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what the Lord said? He said, you need to be satisfied with what you have. And don't even let your conversation. Now, the word conversation is used in two different ways. It is what you say, and it is also your lifestyle. And God said, don't you let your lifestyle or what you say show dissatisfaction in what you have. He said, but you ought to be content. The word content there is a word contento. It means hold it together with what you have. Hold it together. Hold your spiritual attitude together with what you have. Let me tell you all something. Whatever you have, there's somebody that has less. And you, whatever God has provided you, you can hold it together with what God has provided. The Bible says, though, there is a tug between covetousness. That's wanting something that is not yours. Wanting something that maybe you should or should not have, but wanting it at the wrong time, in the wrong way. God said, what you need to do is be satisfied with what you have. And let me explain something to every one of you. Everybody here could be, you could be satisfied if you wanted to be. Satisfaction is not determined by what you have. Satisfaction is determined by what you are. I'll say it again. Satisfaction is not determined by what you have. Satisfaction is determined by what you are. There are people that if they had what you have that you don't want, those people would be satisfied and happy. Some of you say, I hate my house. There's somebody else that would love your house. You say, I don't like my wife. Somebody else would be more than satisfied to have a good lady like you have. Satisfaction is not in what you have, it's in what you are. And it is said here in the book of Hebrews, it's said that you need to let your conversation be without covetous. There's a battle going on. And there's a tug of war. Hey, and by the way, let me tell you what else it said there. It says this, it says in that very same verse, listen to this, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what he was saying there? He said, you go through this tug of war, you want it, you want more, you want this, you want that. He said, why don't you let me be enough? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You ought all just thank God you're saved and you're not going to hell. And everything else ought to fall into place. And he said, I'm telling you not to be covetous. If you have Jesus, you have everything that you need. That's what he's saying. But there's a tug of war. Tug of war there, fellas. This is all over things and money and cars and houses and my clothes, what somebody else has. I want what somebody else has. You know, most of you, it's nothing but a big show to you anyway. You get something new, you wouldn't even want it if you couldn't go show it off. You tell someone, hey, I'll get you a new one of those, but you can't show it off. They, well, what's the use? Covetousness, the tug of war. But not only that. There's a tug of war that goes on between giving and receiving. Luke chapter 6 verse 38 says, given it shall be given unto you. Paul said, I've been given my best. I've been given my best, he said. And sometimes I win. Sometimes I lose. He said, but I'm trying. I'm trying hard. Hey, teenager, is there a tug of war going on in your life right now? Let me ask you, what describes your life? Is your life all about giving to your mom and dad, or getting things from them? Let me say it again. Teenager, is your life all about giving to mom and dad, or is it all about getting from mom and dad? There are a bunch of teenagers in here. The devil's beating you. And all you want, you're just disappointed. You can't have what you want. You want this, you want that, you want this, you want that. You want your way, and you're just doing nothing but. The devil is beating you. He's beating you because you're getting beat in regard to giving and receiving. Hey, let me ask. How about you husbands and wives? Is your ultimate concern your wife's goodness? Do you want what is spiritually best for your wife? Is that what it's all about, sir? Or sir, is it all about you? I think I'd recommend, and just so you know, that doesn't mean that you just say to your wife, no, go ahead and live any way you want. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's doing what is spiritually best. There gets this battle about giving and receiving, whether it's money or whatever it is. There's a battle that goes on. Not only that, there's a tug of war in serving and being served. Mark chapter 10 verse 44 says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of them all. In our world, they have the impression that having a bunch of people serve you is where it's at. According to the Bible, serving a bunch of people is where it's at. I want someone to do something for me. I want someone to meet my need. I want someone to be there for me. What I want. What I have. What I feel like I have to have. There's a tug of war. Fellas, give me a little tug of war there between serving and being served. And there's a part of you sometimes that says, boy, I want to just serve God and I want to do good. And we begin to defeat the devil a little bit. And then before long, you know it, the devil's pulling and we're saying, somebody needs to do this for me. Who's going to take care of me? Did you all know that you go to work to serve your boss? But in today's society, we demand that our boss does this for us and that for us and this for us and that for us. I don't know where that's at in the Bible. Who's winning? And Paul said, I'm pulling. I'm in the tug of war. He said, I'm working at this thing. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Hey, do you struggle with the tug of war in regard to kindness? And being mean? Does meanness? The Bible says in Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering. The Bible tells you that a Christian ought to be kind. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So, you know, some of you are just mean. You're just mean. And for whatever reason. I know that I get mean when I get too busy, so I have to work on that. So I get so busy, I get mean, and boy, I'll tell you something, my meanness gets to pulling me this way. I got to push the reset button. You know, and I don't think all the time is someone mean because they hate. They just get so busy, they don't take the time for people. Are you in a tug of war? Paul said, I've been giving my best. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Are you in the tug of war between gentleness and roughness and patience and rude hastiness? Do you have a hard, mean, vicious heart or a soft heart? But the Bible says there's a tug of war. Stay with me now. I'm almost done. There's also a tug of war that goes on between myself and my concern for others. Philippians 2 verse 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. You know what it's saying? Get your eyes off yourself. I can solve a lot of your problems with people. Get your eyes off yourself. You ought to be concerned on how everything you do affects everybody else. Everything you do. You better find out how it's going to affect everybody else. The tug of war. Me. Oh, but wait a minute. Others. You going through that tug of war? We all go through it. Paul said, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. My feelings, your feelings. My needs, your needs. Help me, help you, others. Now, we all are going through this tug of war. Every last one of us. I love it because I was reading along here and listen to what it says. It says here, Paul said this all the way at the end of that scripture. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said, I feel bad about this. He said, here I am a good Christian and I'm fighting the battle and wrong or the devil. It kind of really. So you all know, don't forget, he's bigger than you. If you say, I'll handle the devil by myself. No, you won't. No, you won't. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul said, I feel bad about this. I'm trying. I'm fighting the devil. And Paul said, what in the world am I going to do? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul said, you know something? I got a problem here. I don't seem to be winning this battle by myself. And he said, who shall deliver me? Do you know what the Bible says then? He said in verse number 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Paul said, I struggle with this tug of war. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but I feel such like a wretch. I'm not winning this thing, and I want to win this thing, and I can't seem to handle the big old tall devil all by myself. And Paul throws his hands in the sky and he said, what am I going to do? Who is going to deliver me? Then he answers his own question. He said, it is going to be Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is the answer. You know what will make the difference? Jesus. Jesus will make all the difference in this tug of war. You know, our God is in three parts. We have a God, and he's a triune God. The word tri there means three. He's one God. He has three parts. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It tells us that in 1 John 5:7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Paul said, who's going to help me? I'm in a battle. Okay. He said, I guess it's going to be my triune God that's going to help me. Who's a part of this? Jesus. Brother Darrell Whitehouse, Dr. Whitehouse, come up here for a second. Dr. Whitehouse, you go down here with the Christian. He's been struggling. He's got rope burns and everything else. Brother Whitehouse, you're Jesus. Come on up here, make room for him there. William, getting rough here, buddy. There's Jesus. Feeling a little better about this thing, Brother Nickerson? But wait a minute. We have a triune God. How about God the Father? Brother Jimmy Shade, where are you at? Come on up here, Jim. Jim, you're God the Father. Erica, you remember this when you get home. But say you get right in there, will you? Look at that. Brother Nickerson, look back at what you got on your team. You got God the Father. You got God the Son. Now we need God the Holy Spirit. Brother Shiskevich, come on up here. You might have felt good earlier, William, but this... Paul said, who's going to deliver me? I'm glad he used the word who. He said, Christ Jesus. Well, God's in three parts. Now, the Christian has God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit helping him. There's a battle going on. Now, you say, well, what does this mean? Let me tell you what it is. If you will obey those three, they'll help you win the battle. They'll help you win the battle. Okay, so there's a battle between good and evil. Go for it. Come on. Come on, devil. Come on. All right. Okay. Give me my rope back. Hunker down there, William. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Go for it. Come on, William. Don't smile while they're beating the snot out of you. Okay, good deal. Good deal. William, I was merciful because I got three women that could stand up here and do this too. There's a battle between love and hate. Go for it. Seem like you guys, it's not as hard, is it, Brother Nickerson? Okay. This battle between good and evil, love and hate, the flesh and the spirit, satisfaction and covetousness. Ease up on the rope, you guys. Giving and receiving. Serving and being served. Kindness, meanness, me or others. I'm telling you, this is how you win it. Thank you, men. You can all go. Thank you very, very much. Thanks, William, Brother Nickerson. Give him a hand. You say, what? And everybody fights it. You say, what is the answer? I know it sounds simple. It is Christ Jesus. You say, what am I supposed to do? Obey God. If you'll obey God, he gets in your corner and he'll help you pull. Why do we complicate the Christian life? If the Bible says, don't do it, then don't do it. Because if God said don't do it and you do it, you are giving leverage. You're giving way for the pull of the devil. When you obey, when you do what is right. Hey, some of you think your preacher's kind of stupid. There are things I'll say to you. If I hire you, I'd never go do this. Well, I'm trying to keep you safe. I'm trying to make it so you can win the tug of war that's in the Christian life. You say, who wins the tug of the war? The ones that are dependent on Christ Jesus. And I'm not talking about Him physically grabbing the rope. I'm talking about you obeying the Scripture. Just obey the Bible. Are you saved today? If you're not, you might be having tug of war going on inside you. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, I'm not sure of that. Then I'd get saved today. Here's what the devil come and say. Oh, not today. Another time. And the tug of war begins. The Lord spoke to your heart about getting saved a long time ago. And the devil said, another time. And you let the devil win the tug of war. No, get saved today. The Bible teaches you get saved not by your works, but by His righteousness. You say, well, I kind of think I need to do some works to get saved. There's a tug of war going on. You can't save yourself. He does all the saving. Let Him win the tug of war. Let Him save you His way. There's some of you, the simple solution is, let God help you win the tug of war through your simple obedience to the Scripture. Who can deliver me? Well, he said, thank God Jesus can. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want you to come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The men that are on this platform will step down off the platform and post themselves on the lower floor at the end of the aisles. If you're in the balcony, you're on the lower floor and you're not saved, you leave your seat. You come down front. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Some of you need to be baptized and you never have been. You've had a tug of war over it. You come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation. Somebody here has been fighting God about rededicating your life. You come. Somebody here, you're not right with God. You've been having a tug of war about different things in your life. Some of you just need to come down here and get on your knees and say, you know what? I'm giving in. I'm going to do the right thing. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart today. There's no doubt about it. Will you raise your hand? There are hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed.